Hi, Ross. Hi, Albert. Hi, Don.
Andrew said he's going to be a few minutes late.
You going to start us?
Well, I was playing around with something that's, we can start some controversy here. You can tell me I'm wrong because I boiled A Course in Miracles down to three little phrases. Like, our little helpful paragraphs that we have, like, I am only here to be truly helpful, things like that. So I boiled it down to three real easy ones. And like Ben Franklin said one time, I'm sorry for the length of this letter, but I didn't have time to be brief and concise. It was a little bit long. So I figured that's what Jesus, he got it wrong, man. He could have boiled this down to three little phrases.
Aunt Ross, so the I that boiled it down to three little phrases, which I is that?
Controversy begins. All right. So
no offense, no offense.
here's the phrases. Before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. For enlightenment, first peace, then poof.
That's great.
And number three, if you go away from peace, oops, help.
That's perfect. That's pretty good.
Now I'll elaborate on the three phrases. So before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. So even if you hit your finger while you're chopping wood, maintain peace. And if you don't maintain peace, see phrase number two. Oops, help. So, and that one almost goes without saying. That means look at your mistake. You went away from peace because you hit your finger while you were chopping wood. And look at that mistake, and with the Holy Spirit, without judgment, and move back to peace as soon as you can. And then for enlightenment, first peace, then poof. So that's what the Course tells us, is that we're looking at forgiveness, okay? So for me, forgiveness is you forgive what's right in front of you. In other words, well, I forgive myself for, that expletive that I yelled out when I hit my finger with the axe while I was chopping wood. So that's right in front of you, or the guy that cuts you off on the freeway, or whatever it may be. But it's an inverted pyramid. The Course talks about it as a chain of forgiveness, which equals the atonement. Well, I look at it as an inverted pyramid. So first you start with the specific, you hit your finger while you're chopping wood. And as you progress, you go more and more general to where you actually forgive the world, which is what atonement is all about. You forgive your brother, or you exonerate your brother for what she did not do. And then you move up into, well, you forgive the world for thinking that you're a victim of the world because you're not. So that's how that works. And once you hit atonement, then God reaches down and pulls you up to heaven, is what the Course talks about. So that's the
Excellent.
Course in three phrases. And now I'm going to go deep into the metaphysics of the Course. So what occurred to me, and I don't know whether this is going to resonate to anybody, but what occurred to me was, since there is no time, that concurrently, simultaneously, what's going on now is you're dreaming a dream. But concurrently and simultaneously, you are also in heaven with God creating. So what you're seeking, you already are. It has to be that way because there is no time. It's not like when you stop dreaming your dream, then you'll be in heaven with God. And by the way, that even seems a little metaphorical to me, because God to me is simply perfect communication and perfect oneness. There's not some guy on a cloud with a beard with his finger, you know, reaching out to a human. It's just the idea in your mind of peace, of oneness, of communication, communion. Those ideas are what God is. It's not, there's no guy that's going to reach down and pull you up to him. So when you start looking at that time thing, there's no time and no place. When I say there's no body, I am free, I add to I am free. I am free of time and space. So when you're free of time and space, and there is no time, and eternity is now, that means that now you are what you're seeking. The only thing that's preventing us from being who we are, what we are, is that we are putting up defenses against the truth. So it's not that you're going to wake up. It's that when you stop putting up defenses against the truth, awakening will happen. Because it has to be that way, because there is no time and there's no other place for you to be. It's right here, right now, is when you can awaken. But I don't know if that's if that resonates to anybody, but it just suddenly kind of hit me. Oh, wait a minute. There is no time. Therefore, concurrently, it's not like when I stop dreaming, I'll wake up. No. It's when I stop putting up defenses against waking up that I'll wake up.
Yeah.
I'm actively putting energy into belief in this body. And that's what's preventing me from knowing that I already have the gifts of God. Peace, happiness, joy. All these things that he gave us when he created us. When, yeah. There's another good one that I was talking about. So it appears as though when you read the Course that God was in existence and then he created us. Well, it can't be that way either, because there is no time.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's a simultaneous extension that he does to create us and we do to create. And how we create is we extend love the same. We are love. We are made of love from love. So that again is that definition of oneness, communion, communication. Not handing flowers and candy to somebody, of course, not sacrifice, which we had a big discussion about sacrifice the other day, that it seems that the world has defined love as sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And it's not that at all. It's a sharing. It's a communion. It's a oneness. So there's your, the meaning of love that the Course won't go into.
Sometimes some flowers in a candy box can be an extension of love.
Yeah.
Can be.
Well, if it's made from peace.
Yeah.
If it's made from, if you're really in communion, in peace, and then your inspiration is to give in that form, that would be an extension of love. But I know that I'm just pointing out the exception to the common idea of giving.
But what the Course says is that your loving thoughts are your, those are your creations, and they may need purification. The Holy Spirit is what it says. The Holy Spirit will purify those loving thoughts and save them forever as your creations. For when you're ready to recognize them, because you already really are where you've always been. But I don't know.
I know that in where I live, there's a lot of homeless people, and a lot of people look, they look like they're suffering. And I've always, it's always been somewhat of a quandary to me wanting to be truly helpful and not just give from a place of lack and guilt or something like that. But I haven't really mastered that.
Well, yeah. You know, one of my teachers always says that, hey, whatever you're drawn to do, go ahead and do it. You know, obviously we can't solve world hunger and help Ukraine and help all the homeless people, but you can pick one that you're drawn to. I mean, I'm drawn to help people with their mobility issues. And that's my contribution. I don't help the homeless. I don't do these other things. There's only so much of me to go around. So I just do what I'm drawn to do. And I think that's fine. It's especially if it's done with a loving thought.
Yeah.
Not out of ego where I'm trying to, you know, oh, look at me. I'm, you know, helping you because you're so screwed up.
Yeah. Thanks, Ross.
And look who's here. You missed it, Andrew. I boiled the course down to three phrases, and now everyone's going to turn off the Zoom and go home because they got it.
Darn it, I missed it. I'm going to have to go the slow way.
Sorry.
Darn it.
I'm going to tell you.
Well, Ross, why don't you give me the cliff notes and give me the single phrase.
Before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. For enlightenment, first peace, then poof. If you go away from help, or if you go away from peace, oops, help. Done.
I get it.
Okay,
I
think throw you're, it yeah. away. You're
That's
done.
It.
Throw it away.
That's it. Need no more. Excellent. Nope. Well done.
We're done.
I wasn't raised as a Catholic, but I think everybody growing up, not everybody, but me and a lot of other people, always heard of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that I'm part of Christ the Son, and then there's the Holy Ghost, and then there's the Father, and I think that for me, one meant is we're all the same. All of that is God, and that's what I'm going to know when I finally have enlightenment. Is I'm as God with God and with everything else. I am.
You want to see what the book describes and supports what you just said?
Yes. Yeah.
Turn to page 519 in the text, and let's have Jesus pat Luann on the back. 519 in the text.
I'm Michael, I forgot to, oh, stop working on it.
This is a nice little section in the book where it reminds you that because you are an extension of God, you are forever linked with the truth. You can't actually leave or not be what you are. You can't actually pull it off. You can think it. You can dream it elaborately. You can deny it. And you can make it feel like you're completely alone. But you can't make it true. It's really good news.
That's what I was also saying, is that since there is no time, you're not waiting to stop dreaming who you are. You're currently who you are while you're dreaming.
Tell us more, Ross. I like that.
There's no time.
Ross? Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I've long been a student of Buddhism, 30 years, a lot of it formal. The highest form of it, the most esoteric form, is instead of practicing hard so that one day you may be a Buddha or connected with God or whatever, the highest vantage point of and practice is realizing you are there now. You are one with the divine, with, you know, whatever term you need to use to describe the perfect self. And from that vantage point, you then begin to do the things you said. You begin to practice. You begin to smile to every darn person you run into, as long as it's, you know, a stranger or otherwise appropriate or whatnot. And I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it because from this top-down practice, I have two things going for me, compassion and wisdom. And with the two of those, I can't lose. Right? So instead of waking up in the morning and go, boy, I wish I could one day gain compassion and wisdom because then I would, you know, be making it. Instead, I go, I am full of all the compassion and wisdom that's available. And I am now going to take that and, you know, practice it in oodles, in spades. And that's a far more empowering place to operate out of than from the bottom up, where, you know, they talk about countless eons, you know, needed before you can reach your, you know, your goal. Instead, it's you're there now. Bam. Okay? And I really like that. That's called the Vajrayana path, by the way, the diamond path.
Is it behavior-based?
Huh?
Is it behavior-based?
Behavior-based?
Yeah.
I suppose at least in part, yeah.
That's what I don't like about religions. It's behavior-based. Behave this way, and then your thinking will change because your behavior's that way. Well, maybe.
You know, it's the kind of difference between religion and spirituality in rough cut. Religion will tell you what to do and what to think and where to be seen on Sunday between 10 and 11 in the morning, what clothes to wear, what's your the kind of religion. And I don't think that's what Tim was talking about.
I was going to say, I'm sorry you threw the baby out with the bathwater just there.
Then spirituality is an inside job, and that's what we do. That's what we do with Course in Miracles, and I think that's the gift of Buddhism and every other long-lived pathway, including Christianity and Catholicism. If you get past the decorations and the religion that's been built up in order to capture the lower consciousness adherence, once you get past that decoration, you find these depths of spiritual gifts, of pointers and indicators to a spiritual identity or connection to what is called God. And and of Course in Miracles, we were just speaking of it last week, the invisible. And if you're not ready for the invisible, well, let's have some visible. Let's have some churches, or let's have some mantras, and let's have some mandalas, and, you know, they're really helpful bridges. But there comes a point. There comes a point.
I don't push religion on anybody. Buddhism, Christianity, Course in Miracles, we'll assume is free of it already. But that's not my need, my wish, my priority, none of that. What I do is I push compassion and I push wisdom. My compassion is guided by my wisdom. The wisdom you find in a bunch of different places. Course in Miracles is a very fine place to look.
Thank you, Tim. Compassion and wisdom, Dr. Day. I like it. These are nice.
Compassion.
Oh, compassion. Yes, compassion. Very good. Beautiful, beautiful. Very Buddhist. Very Buddhist. You reminded me.
You led us to 519.
But before we go to that page, that that discussion we just had reminded me of, has everybody here been to, I don't know what you should call it, is it a gospel mass, or is it a service with singing where there's a choir that sings up on the, has everybody here been to one of those small town churches where the part of the community practices before the service and then they come together and sing these religious songs?
I didn't even know
what they're called or how you would actually find them. My sister was moved to a new city and she was just looking for some kind of community. So she just went into an open door and she stayed for the music. And when I visited, my mother and I visited her in Fairbanks, Alaska, or wherever it was, Colorado, which city. She dragged us in through this door. She says, "You got to hear this." And I was in tears. The people, all these, the whole cross section of town, the choir would start on stage and then people would raise their hands and they knew the songs and they would get out of their chairs and just sing. The words concluded things like peace, love, neighbor, luck, hope, joy, blessing, God. The beautiful words in our language. They were singing them at the top of their lungs. And the community would come together to do this, and then they would depart for a week. And anyway, it was very moving and beautiful. And I would think that anybody, and my sister was one of those people who just needed some connection with more energy to be drawn up this pathway to love and light and community and the bigger picture. You know, wow, that's powerful. So I just somehow that memory popped in my head while we were having that discussion of religion versus spirituality. Okay, page 519. Let's talk about what Luann was reconciling. So Luann, just go to the bottom of the page on 519 and read for us paragraph 5.
Since you believe that you are separate, heaven presents itself to you as separate too. Not that it is in truth, but that the link that has been given you to join the truth may reach to you through what you understand. Father and Son and Holy Spirit are as one, as all your brothers join as one in truth. Christ, his Father, never have been separate, and Christ abides within your understanding in the part of you that shares his Father's will. The Holy Spirit links the other part, the tiny mad desire to be separate, different, and special, to the Christ, to make the oneness clear to what is really one. In this world, this is not understood, but can be taught. Did I read that right?
Yeah, I think it sounded pretty good. In fact, Ross, would you please read? I'll get your mute. Would you please read that same paragraph back to Luann? Luann, listen in.
Since you believe that you are separate, heaven presents itself to you as separate too. Not that it is in truth.
Well, hold on a second. Ross, I'm going to interrupt you as you go along. Heaven. What do you guys remember what I'm teaching in this Thursday night class? What heaven is, when you read heaven in A Course in Miracles, what does that mean? And I've been teaching you that heaven is a code word for, this is for knowledge. Heaven is for knowledge, a state. It when you know you would learn, or you would go through maybe some understanding. That's what light, I call light is a code word in A Course in Miracles for understanding. In fact, that's a quote from the book, that light is understanding. Do you see the opposite of understanding is faithlessness, non-belief, chaos, doubt. This is not to not understand. Light is understanding, and as you accumulate and allow yourself to awaken into more understanding, then heaven shows up. It's not a place, not someplace you go, not someplace you go. There's not a bunch of clouds and harps that you can rent, free lessons. No. Heaven is here and now. Were you to not be busy with hell, blocks to the awareness of love's presence, removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence is what we're learning to do. And it comes with light, and with and a light episode is also vision. We call it vision in A Course in Miracles. When you're dealing with something that seems contracting or limiting, and yet you have a miracle and a forgiveness and a translation with your Holy Spirit occurs, and now what looked like a problem, you now see as an opportunity for compassion, understanding, joining, love. This is a healing that occurs, but it's vision. Sight, the body's sight will show you the problem with money, relationships, space, all these things. But we're learning here, there are no exceptions to what you can apply, your Holy Spirit and this teaching and any of these lessons. But it ultimately turns on vision. Vision is with light. Light is understanding. And as understanding starts to fill your world, and this is what spiritual awakenings are, right? One by one and more, as you allow yourself to awaken, you get heaven. Heaven is knowledge of truth and abiding in truth. That's all. Code word. Please, Ross, continue.
Not that it is in truth, but that the link that has been given you to join the truth may reach to you through what you understand.
Meets you where you are. You're really stuck on separate things, and you really need names and handles. You need Holy Spirit for this. You need God for that. You need Jesus as a something maybe in between, maybe a helper. Sure. Please, Ross, continue.
Father and Son and Holy Spirit are as one, as all your brothers join as one in truth. Christ and his Father never have been separate, and Christ abides within your understanding in the part of you that shares his Father's will.
And Ross, would you please read that sentence slowly and maybe give us a few comments if you feel like it? Otherwise, I will. And what I want to focus on is that Christ abides within your understanding. Your understanding. Where? How? In the part of you that shares his Father's will.
Now, that's one of the things that's always kind of my brain can't keep up with. And that is when you say we are an extension of God.
Yep.
We being big I, which means all of us as one. Extension does not mean separate. Extension, it's not like God created us. But on the other hand, if there's no time, then that extension had to be there all the time.
Right. If there's no space, if there's no time, that extension is extended and continually and always connected. Now, here's a thought for you. Is the extension God?
That's what I think is true.
There's no is so it's the same question as, is the wave the ocean?
No.
Talk to me.
The wave is a subset of the ocean. For the wave to think that it's the ocean is hubris in the extreme.
And limiting.
And limiting.
And
very
small.
Very limiting.
Yeah, small.
Right. So there's not. Extension is an act of God. It is not God, the creator.
On the other hand, an act takes what? No time at all?
Yeah, right.
When God does it, right.
God. Now,
I think an act is the wrong word.
Now, I know, but we knew what you meant. Now, the wave is, thank you, Tim, the wave is not the ocean. But on the other hand, is there any part of the wave that is not the ocean? No. The wave comes 100% from the ocean. It is part of completely the ocean. Therefore, the wave is of the ocean 100%. The wave is not the ocean. That's far too limiting. You are of God 100%.
Thank you.
In fact, if you were to somehow take away the wave, you would be taking away ocean and taking away part of the oneness. If somehow you were not, you are an extension of God, and don't poke holes in the wholeness and still have a hole. So you're a wave. You're an extension of God in the same way that you are. The wave is 100% ocean. You are 100% God. This is a quote from the Course. There is nowhere where God ends and you begin. Isn't that a beautiful simplicity of extension? Yes, Jacqueline.
Well, this is something that I've really been. It's been up for me because I had that experience of realizing that the entire relationship with my mother and father was all about my relationship, holy relationship with God, you know, and I know it's dualistic languaging because we live in a dualistic world to think there's a God and that I have a holy relationship with a God. But from that, what I realize is, you speaking, everyone speaking here, this iPad holder, everything is my holy reflecting to me a potential for understanding my holy relationship with God. So it's 100% God. It's just, and you know, it's something that I have some understanding of, but now living it daily or in the moment, you know, it's a new experience for me with the Course in Miracles understanding. But I now understand that it's 100% God, and it's revealing back to me because we're projecting everything, right? So it's a revelation about my relationship with God.
Wow. Yes. Yes, it is.
It's interesting that we're talking about this because I've really been, you know, I kind of tried to explain it last week, my experience, but I didn't do a very good job of it. But I think maybe that says a little more about it.
Indeed. Beautiful, Jacqueline. Please keep bringing us and unwrapping that awakening and that holy instant that you have had and that awareness and awakening that you have had. Keep bringing that back to us. It'll be nice to hear that as it comes along. Yes, Tim.
Very shortly, do you remember doing something called Venn diagrams in grade school math where you draw a circle and that would be the Venn, V-E-N-N diagram, and then you could have second circles that were either entirely embedded or only partially embedded or completely outside. And so when I think of the ocean, I think of that as, or God even, that's the complete Venn diagram. If you take the wave, it fits entirely inside that Venn diagram. There is no part of the wave that is outside, nor could it ever be. And so I go, and if I call the Venn diagram God all-inclusive, what part of what's real doesn't also fit inside that Venn diagram and its completion? And if there's something you imagine that doesn't fit inside of there, well, then it doesn't really exist. And then it's completely outside. It's not there at all.
I like that, Tim. You could even say that the overlapping portion of the Venn diagram is heaven, where all things are included. All is interacting. All is understood. And then if you go off into one of the pinwheels and off in one of the circles, that's as it goes further away from the attributes that are shared by all, you start to get into languaging and differences and still beautiful things, which is how you end up with extremes of charity or poverty. You even have people who are spiritually advanced, but they're hanging on to not the vows of poverty. Those are different as I understand them, but the idea of poverty that they should not be healthy, wealthy, and too healthy, too wealthy, and too wise in order to be pious, right? And that's, they're not actually in the middle. They're not in heaven. They're focusing on being a very spiritual. You see that also in some people who've psychics and some of the people who near death experience people. I'm going through this with people in my life that where I've seen these serious advances in awareness that they have allowed themselves to venture into. But they didn't do Miracle Principle 7. You know, they were not purified first.
Thank you for letting me share that.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. It's really cool. It's really, really useful. Really cool. And so
that reminds me of your metaphor about the diamond.
Yeah, yeah.
If any one part of a diamond is missing, it's not that diamond anymore.
That's right. It starts to go dull. It just isn't the one diamond. Very good. Very good, Luann.
I love that. That's a great one.
Good, good. Yeah, you know, I'm going to play with that one day and make a little 5-minute YouTube and get my sister to illustrate it. It'd be so fun, wouldn't it? Or if somebody knows a great illustrator, let me know. Ross, did you finish that paragraph? Did I interrupt you?
No, it's not finished.
You asked me for comments on the sentence, and then I never got a word in edgewise.
I know you have something to say if I just give you the space to say it.
I've sucked the oxygen out of the room.
Yeah.
I don't know. We have to talk to the fish. Is that like talking to the hand?
those are my koi, and they are there to remind me to seize the day. Or if you're in on the joke, carpe diem.
Oh, right. Except koi must be carp.
Yeah.
Christ and his Father never have been separate, and Christ abides within your understanding in the part of you that shares his Father's will. So another name for the Holy Spirit is universal understanding. So there you go. Christ abides within your understanding, your universal understanding, which is the Holy Spirit. So there's like you like to say, there's a circle.
Beautiful. Thank you, Ross. Absolutely. Please continue.
In the part of you that shares his Father's will. Wait, oh.
Same sentence. Yeah, I like the emphasis.
Christ abides within your understanding in the part of you that shares his Father's will, which would also be the Holy Spirit, because that's universal understanding. The Holy Spirit links the other part, the tiny mad desire to be separate, different, and special, to the Christ, to make the oneness clear to what is really one. Well, there's a confusing one, huh? So to make the oneness clear to what is really one versus what doesn't think it's one.
Right. That's trying to prove it's not one.
Yeah.
A part of you that is trying to prove separation, actually, with names and separate, you know, hidden secret bank accounts and maybe sexual orientation or maybe history or maybe dreams or fears or all sorts of separate devotions that keep you very alive and separate.
Defenses against the truth.
Defenses against the truth, yeah.
The Department of Defense. In this world, this is not understood, but can be taught.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And you would need a miracle to do it. And very important, and important in tonight's paragraph that we're going to read. This is not something you do or change in the physical world. What we're studying here tonight, we're talking about essentially what is it, how can you possibly join with what is devoted to separation? It is not the body. You know, cut to the chase. It's not with the body. Still, here you are with a body. Totally soaked in the body experience and hoping for a better day tomorrow in the body. Remember that country song? Everybody want to go to heaven. Nobody want to go right now. Or something like that. Nobody wants to go right now. Neither should you feel a need to go to heaven. The fact is, you wouldn't be let in. You couldn't be let in because you'd be like, where's the door? Go on in. You're welcome. But where's the door? Door? Yes, you know, door. Some break in the wall of heaven that would allow my body through. A door. They're like, what? You see, until you've allowed yourself to bring yourself back, even for a moment, all it takes is one honest moment. You don't have to keep it up. Of invisibility. Of touching your spiritual identity, which happens in a present, simple present moment. It's the goal of meditation. It's the goal of, you know, all of this asceticism and trying to, you know, spiritual practice to somehow bang, wake up. No. You're not waking up to anything. You're waking up from the complete addiction to being a body. You see, this is good news, I hope. You're not going to actually do or change. You're going to let go for a moment. That's all it takes.
Fall awake.
Fall awake. It's way simpler than you can possibly accept because of the amount of habitual resistance you have to true peace and love. You can't do it because of your addiction to being a body. But one of the ways is that you get tempted, and tonight I'm going to tempt you, Course in Miracles is going to tempt you to see a bridge between you and another, joining, right? A bridge. To be tempted to open a portal right here, right now, in your life, with your loved ones or your hated ones. Better even with the hated ones, really, for sure. But equally, actually. To open a portal, to open a joining, a bridge, where part of you can actually see an honest joining occur. It would take vision. It will happen invisibly. It will certainly not be with your bodies. It'll be beyond your bodies. It'll be beyond words. it will be in between increments of time.
I think there is a difference between knowing and experiencing. The reason I say that is I have what I think was the Holy Spirit, Holy instant one time when all I knew, all I experienced was love, and what I saw was light. And I've been trying to figure out all that that means, and it means more than my brain has figured out yet. But it meant something to me, and I think it's really important for me to figure out what that means, or say it's okay just to have experienced it.
Luann, you know, there is, in all spiritual journeys, we start out with something like religion, where you break into the idea that there is something bigger than just you. And maybe you do the religious practices and you start to feel like maybe you're not as bad because you deserve the audience with God someday, because now you're going to church or you're doing the alms or practices or whatever it is that the church has required of good religious people, and you have thoughts of goodness. In fact, you may even volunteer time with the organization thinking, wow, if the deacon of the church says that we should do this activity on Sunday, let's all do it. And it kind of fills your mind and your heart and so forth. And that feeling begins, the feeling of community begins. Or if you listen to the song I was telling you about, there's a feeling that sort of enters you. Or you do some kind act and a feeling enters you that's not as ugly as you were before. But it's a feeling, right? But it's a feeling that gets co-opted by your ego very quickly. And the ego, you know, can really misuse it, and you end up overdoing the charity thing, and then you start to expect something in return for every favor you give, and you're trying to get away from that, and selfishness, and blah, blah, blah. So then you have to go to thought. You start understanding what Jesus meant by turn the other cheek. For example, to go the extra mile. For example, you start to have to think now about what these Course in Miracles means by giving up attack thoughts. You kind of have to put aside your feelings and go to school, do some learning. But then, stage three, after you've had some holy instances, some success with miracle, forgiveness, holy instant, after this has happened a few times and you've actually made some awakening in your path and you start to feel like, wow, there is a bigger way and I can't miss it. I do have to weed the garden, but I've got some good things growing. I have some moments of peace. I have some hope now that seems to let go into touch into eternity. Maybe that's happened to you. But you've got to do your thinking, okay? But once that happens and you start to dismiss some of the ego misguiding and you start to let go of some of the old ego ideas of what's good and what's bad, and compassion gets born in you, even for your enemy, then a new feeling shows up. And that's what I'm claiming, Luann, for you. You had a feeling of joining, a feeling of a broader, larger sense of joining. And if you try to go and use Luann's ego to give it a solid meaning, it's very likely to make it smaller than it is. So I'm going with what you said in your last few words, which was just stay with the feeling, trust it, and move on. Own it wordlessly. Don't try to find a meaning. Try to know the feeling.
I'm feeling it right now in my stomach. But the reason it came up is because you said what we are going to do tonight is it opened a portal
Yeah.
And that's what it came from a lesson. I don't remember which one, but it said, send love to somebody, which is what I think opening a portal is sending love.
Yeah.
Or expressing love or feeling love for that person.
How do we do it? First, let's read our paragraph. Everybody go to page 470 in the text, 470. And Don, when you get there, I'm going to ask you to read for us paragraph 9. Chapter 22 in the text.
Be certain God did not entrust his son to the unworthy. Nothing but what is part of him is worthy of being joined. Nor is it possible that anything not part of him can join. Communication must have been restored to those who join. For this they could not do through bodies. What then has joined them? Reason will tell you that they must have seen each other through a vision not of the body and communicated in a language the body does not speak. Nor could it be a fearful sight or sound that drew them gently into one. Rather, in each the other saw a perfect shelter where his self could be reborn in safety and in peace. Such did his reason tell him, such he believed, because it was the truth.
Such he believed, because it was the truth. And Luann, if you just take that feeling and don't try to figure out meaning, just take that feeling, and if it is indeed a lightness of being and a reconciling of everything as a gift, if it's that kind of feeling, this you will carry with you forever, because it is a holy instant, and it is a returning of the truth. Remember, turn back just about 7 pages to 463. And look how he's still riding the same horse. He knew it was a hard episode, a hard lesson for us. Look at that last sentence, 14 in the italics. And do I want to see what I denied? Because it is the truth, not because it fits some religion or because it fits something I thought was right or because it would necessarily bring me the happiness that I know or want. No. When the truth becomes more important than what you think is good for you, oh, you are really taking steps upward. When the truth is more important than what you think, now you can gain, now you can receive the bigger picture. You're thinking way too small. Everything that your ego has ever offered you is absolutely a block to the awareness of love's presence. When you start to get this itch for the truth, no matter what, boy, is that freeing. Another word for that is devotion. Heart devotion. You can't really be devoted to a lie, can you? So fickle and hollow, and it could just all end in a moment. But to the truth, there's an opportunity for pure and complete devotion like this world can't afford. You little wave. The truth is you are absolutely connected all the time, not ever apart from the ocean. Devote yourself to the ocean and not the wave. And you will find that the wave is a celebration of the ocean. Constantly mixing with the one, arising and falling and arising. The motion of the ocean is the wave. And it's just a small part. Free yourself from the limit of hanging on to a wave. They come and they go. That's part of their beauty. It's part of your beauty, and you must learn to appreciate this. How do we do this more? How do we do this? Because finding the truth, you know, so we'll, that just awakens in you. Every time you touch the truth, you, like Luann has, and all of us have, I'm calling it recently a new emotion. This connection happens that sort of, somebody help me with the words. A connection of your all being, you know, your being is awoken, aligned. It's not conditional. It's unconditional, unlimited, and you're touching it. There's no emotion on earth for that. So, okay. Now, let's take a few more pieces from Jesus that might be helpful on this portal opening, this connection. Turn to the manual for teachers and then into the clarification of terms. Page 79 in the manual for teachers, which is in the second half of the manual, also called the clarification of terms. But the bottom of the page says 79. So this portal, or door, or bridge, you know, it has the bridge has one side that you can easily get on because you're already on that side. And you're going to the other side of the bridge. The beauty of a bridge is that the moment you touch the bridge, you're on your way. Do you feel me here? Completely connected with your journey, even though it's up and over and across. You go up and up and up, and then you start going down and down and down. And you're on the other side. But I want you to appreciate the beauty of finding the bridge that goes across to your destination. And the moment you enter that bridge, you are on your way. This is where you are now. Everybody here is already on the bridge. You are. Last week I told you were flying home like the birds who had left home. You are all on the bridge. You are all. Anybody can spend this much time with Course in Miracles. You've been touched by the light of understanding, which means you're going to heaven, which means knowledge, which means you're going to have a big laugh when you think how seriously you took your little body.
You can right. say that.
Huh?
You can say that.
Yeah.
Because if you're this deeply into Course in Miracles for this long, you know that you will be going to heaven.
Yeah.
Did I paraphrase that or get it right? Or
yeah.
Here's why I am pushing the point. That made me feel so smacking good that I needed to hear it twice.
Good. Good. Yeah, you know, the biggest, most repeated words and phrases in this book is this: I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me. You can say that with an argument, and then you can start saying it as kind of a mantra, but eventually you'll say it as a celebration. this phrase you must learn to own, and pretty soon it will own you. Why? Because it is the truth. You will want to see what you've been denying because it is the truth. What have I been denying? You've been denying that you're not a body. You've been denying that you are free. Really free. Not a little free. Really free. You've been denying that you remain as the ocean created you. Not as you made yourself. Not as something that actually crashes on the rocks and dies. A wave does not die. You'd have to tell a story that say that wave had a brief existence, it rode on top, and then it died. That is where you are now. You're in hell. Because in hell, you have beginnings and endings. But in heaven, which is knowledge, you can look at the exact same thing and forget the analogy. I mean bodies. I mean the dreams of bodies walking on earth, having children, having jobs, growing old, sharing, loving, creating, painting, playing music, cooking great food. And you mean
divorcing, dying, getting cancer.
Divorcing, cancer. You may see the entire menu that before was seen as conditional good luck and bad luck. You may see that all as one chorus of celebration of your power. You'd have to remove the fear. You'd have to remove the lack. You'd have to remove the guilt and all sorts of other things you've been busy trying to develop. But you can still enjoy the ocean, even if you know that the wave is connected to the ocean, not separate.
Alan, I went to medical school at age 40, and it wasn't the right choice to bring me happiness. I put in 8 years plus to graduate, and it took a heroic effort. And as I was standing there with my cap and gown and people celebrating me and all the rest of it, I said, this isn't it. It was a hell of a day. This is not it. And so I had to begin to search for what is it? And I had not a clue. And $250,000 worth of debt. Yeah, they all told me, this is it, Tim. This is it. This is happiness. This is the way to go. No. And I give myself credit for jumping off the train before entering residency and then full-time, a lifetime of practice, because that wouldn't have been it either. It was more insanity.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I care about people. I care about, all the animals I've taken care of and the career before this. And at the same time, it's not right.
And you listened.
I listened. You know how much courage it took to get off the frickin' train in my fourth year?
Yeah.
It took everything I got nauseous. I was sick. It took me years to get over.
I hope you have reconciled that as a gift of love from the bigger picture. Part of you came into this existence devoted to the truth. And as you went on the adventure on that train of medical school, it got further and further and colder and colder, further from the truth. And so you got further from your path back to love. And so I hope you feel the loving embrace. You could call them angels if you want. It's in the book 12 times. And it is a way where your path, if you will, your Holy Spirit, is there to remind you of what love is. And so I hope you feel you were loved by getting pushed off the train.
My self-chosen train.
Yep. You will not be denied getting back on that. If Tim, right now, if you was, all right, I got, so I'm going to go back and I'm going to go, you know, get the big mansion that doctors have and the second and third Mercedes. Oops. I think I just pressed a bunch of keys by accident. You would not be prevented from doing that where you are, but you'd be denying what now you know is a, it's a much more significant path.
Andrew?
Yes, Don. Receiving the gift, Tim, all I'm saying is patting you on the back. Receiving the gift, and it looks ugly, and other people can't understand that, but I know where you...
They think I'm nuts.
You bet. But you are found. You are getting blinder, and then you see, and now you're back. Your eyes reopened. Your eye was closing, and it reopened. This is a gift, and you said, I'll take it. I mean, that's great. That is part of what I'm telling Luann to do. Don't go with the thoughts and the meaning and trying to analyze it. You're beyond that because you can feel it.
What?
Follow the feeling.
Send me your bill.
What do you got, Don?
Well, there's a little reading from Sri Krishna, you know, part of the yoga path. No, I won't read the whole, well, I'll read the whole thing, but it's really the last line that I thought of when Tim was talking. It says, this is Sri Krishna, God, I'm always with all beings. I abandon no one. And however great your inner darkness, you are never separate from me. Let your thoughts flow past you calmly. Keep me near at every moment. This is for you, Andrew. I mean, for you, Tim. Trust me with your life, for I am you more than you yourself are.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing it with me.
That's what's so, you know, like I hear you talking about you got nauseous and all that. That was your ego mind, you know. That was your ego mind. It was just like, this is crazy. This is insane. But you were surrendering to, I am you more than you, that little ego self, think you are. I think that's really cool.
That's so beautiful. Thank you, Don. That was really beautiful. Deborah, would you please turn your workbook to page 487? You can just, where you are, turn back 20 pages. And everybody, turn back 20 pages or so to page 487. 487. Here's where the Course in Miracles says much of what Don just said, although I think that Krista thing is pretty nice, pretty tightly said. Wow. I'm more of you than you are. I love it. The ocean says to the wave, I don't know if you can hear this wave, but I'm more of you than you think you are. I'm more of you. From me, you came. To me, you go. Because of me, you exist, says the ocean. Thank you, Don. That was just beautiful. Deborah, would you read for us the start with the first two? Why don't you read two paragraphs for us on page 487, and then Albert will read two more.
Starting at the beginning of the epilogue?
Yes, please.
Okay. This course is a beginning, not an end. Your friend goes with you. You are not alone. No one who calls on him can call in vain. Whatever troubles you, be certain that he has the answer and will gladly give it to you if you simply turn to him and ask it of him. He will not withhold all answers that you need for anything that seems to trouble you. He knows the way to solve all problems and resolve all doubts. His certainty is yours. You need but ask it of him, and it will be given you. And it will be given you. You are as certain of arriving home as is the pathway of the sun laid down before it rises. After it is set, and in the half-lit hours in between. Indeed, your pathway is more certain still, for it cannot be possible to change the course of those whom God has called to him. Therefore, obey your will and follow him whom you accepted as your voice to speak of what you really want and really need.
There's a direct quote to Tim right there. He said, Tim, obey your will and follow what you really want and what you really need. Come home, my son, he says. Please continue.
His is the voice for God and also yours, and thus he speaks of freedom and of truth.
And Albert, would you read 3 and 4 for us?
Okay. No more specific lessons are assigned, for there is no more need of them. Henceforth, hear but the voice for God and for yourself when you retire from the world to seek reality instead.
When you retire from a busy medical practice and seek reality instead. Please continue.
He will direct your efforts, telling you exactly what to do, how to direct your mind, and when to come to him in silence, asking for his sure direction and his certain word. His is the word that God has given you. His is the word you choose to be your own. And now I place you in his hands, to be his faithful follower, with him as guide through every difficulty and all pain that you may think is real. Nor will he give you pleasures that will pass away, for he gives only the eternal and the good. Let him prepare you further. He has earned your trust by speaking daily to you of your Father and your brother, and yourself. He will continue. Now you walk with him as certain as he is of where you go, as sure as he of how you should proceed, as confident as he is of the goal and of your safe arrival in the end.
And Jason, I got your mute. Would you read for us 5 and 6?
Okay, on.
Now we're in the back of the workbook on page 487. So there you go, way in the back. Keep going, Luann, another 100 pages. Hey, the Zoom is great, huh? I can actually almost see her page. Keep going, another 50 pages. Go, keep going. I'm practically turning the pages for her.
Yeah, you are. Okay.
Paragraph number?
Number 5, please.
We will. Not in this
year. The end is certain. It's page 487 in the workbook.
I got it.
There's also a page 47 in the text, so that's confusing. But this is on the other side of the book, in the back of the book. There's almost no book left.
Yeah, the end is certain.
Yeah.
The end is certain and the means as well. To this we say amen. You will be told exactly what God wills for you each time there is a choice to make. And he will speak for God and time. I'm sorry. And he will speak for God and for yourself, thus making sure that hell will claim you not, and that each choice you make brings heaven nearer to your reach. And so we walk with him from this time and turn to him for guidance and for peace and sure directions. joy attends our way. For we go homeward to an open door which God has held unclosed to welcome us.
Do you want to hand us Cecilia? Cecilia, want to read for us paragraph 6?
Okay. We trust our ways to him and say amen. In peace we will continue in his way and trust all things to him. In confidence we wait his answers as we ask his will in everything we do. He loves God's Son as we would love him. And he teaches us how to behold him through his eyes and love him as he does. You do not walk alone. God's angels hover near and all about. His love surrounds you, and of this be sure that I will never leave you comfortless.
Beautiful. Thank you. So that's one of the references to angels and to you listening and receiving the comfort that's offered to you.
That's a beautiful promise, isn't it?
Isn't it beautiful? Yeah. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for reading us what you read us. It reminded me of that beautiful passage in the back of the workbook. And now, with the little time we have left, I would like you to turn to manual page 79, and let's look at this, how this portal or this bridge gets opened. Let's see if we can have enough time to pull out this gift that is handed to you right across the bridge from understanding to not understanding at all, but you have the little willingness. If you're a Course in Miracles student, you've got this little willingness, and it's so little that actually means you're willing, not you, who you know yourself to be, are willing not to apply what you know. That's the little willingness. Yeah.
All our fault.
Yeah, it is. You better believe it. Okay. All right. Jacqueline, I'm going to get your mute. And would you, on page 79 in the back of your book, okay, the clarification of terms, start reading for us paragraph 1.
Okay. Mind, spirit?
That's it.
The term mind is used to represent the activating agent of spirit, supplying its creative energy. When the term is capitalized, it refers to God or Christ, i.e., the mind of God or the mind of Christ. Spirit is the thought of God, which he created like himself. The unified spirit is God's one Son or Christ.
Wow. Don't you love the way that's laid out for you there? The unified spirit, and spirit is not capitalized. The unified spirit, and the spirit is not capitalized. Meeting you where you are. Helping you to understand that even where you are on the bridge. You're on the bridge in the, when you begin your return home, when you begin your return back to light, to understanding, to creation, when you begin your embrace of the ocean, you little wave. And I mean that in the most complimentary way possible. You little wave. But as you return back to your understanding of the ocean, we're using the idea of spirit, not capitalized, to join the essence and allow you to travel into the invisible. The invisible, for example, the opposite, the worst thing is hatred in the form of bombs and blood, broken bones, etc. Hate. But there is hate, right? As far from love as you can get, right? Fear and hate. Let's make the bridge. Let's go through the portal. Even with the most ugly, blown off leg, and you're afraid it might be you next. hate. I hate who did it. I hate that it happened. And I hate the struggle that this person will have to go through with an amputated leg. Hate it, hate it, hate it. How can I get back to the light with something so dark as this? The answer is hinted here in the fact that those words are not capitalized. Unified spirit. Hatred has a spirit. Hatred has, you could say the spirit of hatred, right? I'll bet you could write a poem about it if you were so inclined, right? Can you imagine a movie in Hollywood called The Spirit of Hatred? How do people take up arms and kill each other? Okay, all right, there's a good documentary there. You got it? There's a spirit, an invisible driving force of hatred. And you are a participant because you know of hatred. You spot it, you got it. What's that, Jason? We didn't hear you. Oh, yeah, you're toggling your mute the opposite way.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
A Course in Hatred.
A Course in Hatred. Yeah, it would be a different color book. So, right? So now, if you can move while you're in hatred, while you're in divorce, while you're in bankruptcy, while you're in sickness, while you're, you can go from the physical manifestation, which is the block, to the awareness of spirit's presence. You can move even in the ugliest thing you can come up with. You can move to the spirit of it. Do you follow me? From there, you're on the bridge. You're in an ununified spirit because you're in a destructive spirit, such as hate or guilt, separation of any type. You see how it is destructive. But look at that sentence. Look at those two words. They're not capitalized, so they shouldn't be too scary in any way. Unified spirit. If you can take your problems, whether they be hatred or attack or whatever struggle, fear, unworthiness, missed opportunity, I don't know, I don't care what it is, but find the spirit of it. You put your toes on the bridge to return home. Does this make sense, what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Not really.
No, it makes no sense, but I'm willing to go with you.
All right. We'll slow down a little bit. Any emotion or thought even, but let's stick with emotions, okay? Because that's what counts, right? What really counts is when it's so significant you have an emotion. Like fear, or maybe you're unfairly treated. Or maybe you're afraid of running out of money. Or maybe you're afraid of COVID or cancer. Maybe you're afraid of not having enough mentally, spiritually to get into heaven. I don't know. Any of these things. Find any contraction in your life that's uncomfortable. I'm saying there's a spirit to it, an invisible driving force that is the foundation of your hatred, of your fear, of, say, money. Even though you have enough money or if you don't have enough money, the spirit of not having enough money can still be present. Money is kind of a neutral. I mean, that's a good one. Everybody has to deal with money. At some point in your life, you probably thought, oh, this money's kind of got a lever on me. If you didn't have very much, it's pretty obvious because your rent was late. If you have very much, it's obvious because people wanted it. And other people didn't have as much as you, and it made you feel separate. And you didn't know if giving them money would be good for them or bad for them. Money can ruin relationships as well as make them. If you didn't have it, you thought, this is the block to my happiness. If I just had money, I could have more time to do my coursework. Or I could be generous and go help the poor. If I just had more money, I'd be free. I'm telling you, there's an invisible component to money. The idea of money, if you have any emotions around it, there's an invisible is my key word, folks, invisible. That is the spirit of money. If you were to meditate on the spirit of money, because we're running out of time, I'm just going to give you a couple of highlights and summaries that I to see if we'll all get on the same page. The spirit of, if you've thought about it for a while, you might come up with things like, well, the spirit of money is lack, because there's never enough. As soon as you start on it, what's that, Luann?
The fear of lack.
So you get the fear of lack and the fear of lack. See, now the spirit of money brings up the fear of lack. But maybe from you were born silver spoon and there's money's never been a problem. Grandpa just, you know, had an oil well and there's been money for generations, let's say.
And there's infighting in the family over the money for generations.
Uh-huh. Yep. Some aunt said nobody can spend money on private housing. You can only live in public housing. Granddaddy would have wanted that. What? You can't buy a house? This happened. This actually happened with the U-Haul company. You know the orange trailers, U-Haul? A couple of people got together long ago and they made this business and then made a whole bunch of money, but it ruined the family. They're suing each other. Oh my God, the money battles to try to get that money into the hands of second and third generation people.
Warren Buffett's children don't get a penance compared to his actual worth.
Yeah.
They beg him like, hey, okay, we're grown up, we're married. We have just a little loan to redo our modest kitchen. Nope.
This is not because of the visible aspect of money. It's because of the spirit of money that is tapped into. It's got a spirit to it. This is my bridge. This is the portal that you can take your money problems and find your way back to the truth. You don't have to, don't leave the problem. I'm telling you to go into the problem and discover the spirit that's driving the problem, that's giving you an emotion around it. This puts you on the bridge where you can eventually, not too far of a journey, but you can cross this bridge over to a unified spirit, because you will discover, and I'm sorry we're out of time, so I'm speeding along here, but this is very important. Oops. But it's very important that we touch on this idea that is before you now, because it's in your book and it's how A Course in Miracles can reach you, as destitute as you think you may be. The Holy Spirit knows the unholy place where you find yourself. Because the Holy Spirit only sees spirit, doesn't see the physical manifestations of you with your broken bank account, your broken heart, your broken leg, your dismembered family, or whatever sad situation that you might find yourself in outwardly. Holy Spirit only sees spirit, and it's Holy Spirit. So it is a translator of the ununified spirit, that's ego, the translator of the ununified spirit to a unified spirit, and there's no capital letters required. This means you're reachable wherever you think you are. Do you follow me now? Does it make any more sense? Somebody ask a question if it doesn't make any sense.
It's the wave. It's the wave.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it's the wave, understanding that the wave is actually connected to the ocean and it only works because of water. Oh, wait a minute. You mean the ocean's water and I'm water too? You mean that we're actually mixing? We're the same water? See, that's spirit. It's the wave recognizing itself as ocean and actually can't not be ocean. It's the wave. Now, once getting that holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy instant that I am water and the ocean is water, it's all water. Oh my God, we're all one. We have to be one. You see that? That's an awakening. Seeing now that he wants more of the truth. Wanting to know what the wave wants to know, what it's been denying, thinking it was a wave all this time. Wanting to know what it's been denying because, key word, it is the truth. As evinced by being exposed to water, the spirit, shared spirit, is water. A unified spirit is vision, takes this now, takes vision to be able to wave, to be able to see beyond itself, which is given you as a separate human being, human seeming, I should say, with a name, that you can see the spirit, the water that you share, because everything that makes anything, any meaning to you at all has a spirit. That's where its meaning comes from to you. But that's putting your toes on the bridge that now with the Holy Spirit, which is given to you by Course in Miracles. By the way, this is your access to the Holy Spirit. Just 365 easy to follow steps, one a day. And it will start to raise the Holy Spirit awareness in you so that whenever you have an unholy spirit moment, you can go back to the keyword now, spirit, and follow with your Holy Spirit back to the unified spirit, away from the ununified spirit. Isn't this great? This gift you has been giving you, and well, I don't know, maybe we'll just come back here next week and just continue with this, because it's a short section, but it really describes this bridge even more, and it's a very important teaching to help you understand how close you are to a complete solution right in the middle of your problem. All right, we run out of time. Thank you, everybody, for studying A Course in Miracles with me, and let's do it again next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks, Ross. Thanks for warming up the crowd. Good night, Cecilia.
Good night, Deborah.
Good night, Jason.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks, Don, for your questions. Priceless.
Thank you.
Good night, Kenny.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night to Bridget for me.
I will.
Good. Good night, Luann. Good night, Timothy. Thanks for pitching in.
You're welcome, sir.
Priceless.